Kids, don't go first before we pray for you. Let's pray for the kids. Father, we thank you once again for our next generation. We thank you for the young people. We thank you for the young lives. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough to have another day to breathe. Father, we just ask that your Spirit will go before them and be with them as they continue to learn, and your Spirit will commit them to your words, and also help the teachers who are teaching will have your inspired by your words to strengthen them, to not just give them knowledge, but also to give them life. And thank you for all this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. All right, once again, good morning. It's a very, very cold morning. I remember last night, I just couldn't sleep because it was too cold. I got to go out to the lounge and get extra blanket and put all my blanket on top of a blanket. And I wear clothing and wear my... I don't know whether I'm sick or not. But it looks okay and feel okay today, this morning. And so I'm here. Yep. Today, as we look at... I don't know how about you, but... I remember the very first time I read this scripture. It is,
I don't know how about you, but
it stuns me. It stuns me when you come to verse 66. It's unbelievable. When I look at it, it's like, oh my gosh, really? People walk away from all this? Can people really walk away? I never thought that it will be at... There were people who are called disciples. I thought disciples are the people who build the church, who follow Jesus, who are true believers, who are saved. But the Bible here, John, state disciples, his disciples, Jesus' disciples. That means that these people have been learning with Jesus, have been walking with Jesus, have been looking at Jesus, eating with Jesus, doing ministry with him, seeing all the miracles. They were probably eating the bread, the five bread and two fish. They were probably, some of them were probably in the boat when Jesus was walking on water.
They were probably eating the bread.
But clearly say, this stuns me. It's a statement that John said. Many people walk away from God. Many people walk away, no longer follow Jesus. What does that mean? It stuns me. I just can't comprehend how Jesus feel, how much pain he has to go through. If you are talking about relationship today, we look at relationship. If you and I have a very, very close relationship, one day if I'm gone, you probably feel something. You probably feel remorse. You probably feel sad when someone that is has a close relationship with you are gone. I just can't understand how Jesus feel. Or so, these people all came, the crowd all came. Seeing so many people, that's what we see, isn't it? We want the church to be packed with people, isn't it? But the moment we got lesser people, we start to wonder, oh, the number is down. But when we look at this, the scripture today, we don't see any of this happen. We see people walking away. This is ministry, church. This is a normal thing. It's a natural thing that happens in the ministry. It happens Jesus' time. It happened to Jesus himself. And so happened to us. So we don't need to be too worried. We got more people or less people. But we need to be worried. Today, as we sit here, what kind of disciple are we? Are we the kind of disciple that will walk away whenever we don't like? Or are we the kind of disciple who stick to the end? So something for you to consider today as you come. People come, people go. They come, they hear the word of God, they stay and serve for a while, they leave. People leave for many reasons. The hardest thing is that people left because they left the gospel. It is very, very painful and very discouraging kind of ministry. It's a spiritual experience that none of us want to go through. Because it's so painful, you are discipling somebody, journey with someone, and all of a sudden that someone disappears. You know? I don't mind you left for another church. It's okay. If you find my teaching is too hard, or you find that you don't like my face, that's fine. Go to another church. But don't stop going to church. Don't stop believing in God, because you don't come here for me. You don't come here for any reason here. All right? Maybe for the first few times when you come, you don't know any. It's the first time you're in church. Yes, you come to make friends, have a community. But once you know the Lord, you believe in the Lord, your mentality should change. That's what we call maturity in Christ. Your mentality should be, you come here because of Christ. You come here to worship God. You don't come here to worship me. You don't come here to try to pick what words I use, what I say today. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit that you come for this morning. You should grow into that maturity. And you see these people walk away. It's not just because that we are upset, we are discouraged, not because of there's no return in our investment, or not because like these people forsake the church or leave us because they don't like us, but because they forsake the Lord. That is the most painful one. They have the full experience. If you look at the Bible, the whole of chapter 6 talks about this. They have the full experience of God's presence, the Lord's presence with them, the glory of God, the truth. That's what in chapter 1 of John says, that the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace, full of truth, right? It revealed everything to us. That's what Jesus did. Jesus showed us everything. He never withhold anything from himself. He just showed us, and still, yet these people go against him and rebel against him and denying his existence, denying that he's the Christ, denying that he's the Son of God, denying that you are Jesus, you are from heaven. And you know what the Bible called this? The Bible called this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You have sinned. It is also labeled an unforgivable sin. All sin can be forgiven, but except this one. Why? Because you have seen the true glory of God. You have tasted the grace of God. And you choose not to believe. And you tell yourself that this is not true. Just like all those people. You see, look at all those people following Jesus. Wherever you go, there's miracle, there's show to see, there's food to eat, song to sing. All right, everything looks good. But until something happened, and they say it's not true. How often are we at this stage of our faith that we say we've seen something right in front of our eyes, and you say it's not true? The only explanation for anyone to be blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, what I think, from my understanding, is that the only possible way is that this person, these people, has never came to Christ in the first place, right from the beginning. They came for their own agendas. They came for their own reasons. All right? And you know what's the result of this when you do this? It happens like this. It gives you the result of not believing in Jesus. When you reject Jesus, when you refuse to accept Jesus, it's a betrayal. It's the greatest crime for all. If you do that, there can be no longer any sacrifice for you. Because Jesus is the only designated sacrifice for our sin. No other sacrifice for our sins, and there's no other provision that God has given to you for salvation. There's no other name under heaven other than Jesus that can be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And this is the only way, the only truth, the only life that God has provided for us. And if we reject that, there's no more way, no more truth, and no more life. And these people come. And these people, when we talk about these people actually come because they can't satisfy. When they reject Jesus, there's nothing else that can satisfy God's wrath. God is anger, God is fury because of our sin. Not because of who we are, but because we are sin. Because we sin against Him, because we rebel against Him. And that thing we do, you can do everything. You can do a lot of things for the church or serve in any ways, but nothing is going to satisfy Him unless you believe in Jesus. Unless you let His Son take your fall. Unless you let His Son sacrifice for you. And this is very, very insulting to the Trinity God. Insulting to the Son, what the Son has done. Insulting to the Father has sent His Son. Insulting to the Holy Spirit of grace. God has shown us so much grace. It's very insulting. You know how serious is that? No wonder the Bible says, when the Bible tells us that, you know, when Jesus said that He's blessed me against the Holy Spirit. So don't do that. I don't believe that any one of us here this morning is able to do that. Because you believe. Amen? You believe in Jesus. That's the only thing that satisfies God's rest. So if you reject Jesus, you're insulting the Holy Spirit. Now there are two groups that I want you to watch. If you look at this at the very end, this is the very last section of John chapter 6. All right, and we're going to close chapter 6 and we'll move on to chapter 7. When it's closing here, we see two groups of people, but throughout the whole of chapter 6, you see all these, one group of them are false disciples. We still call them disciples, false disciples that walk away from Jesus. And the other one is the true disciple who refused to walk away. All right? And the first, we see that the false disciple, they have some defection. They are drawn to Jesus. They come to Jesus. And I just don't know why my PowerPoint is not coming up. Yep. Okay. And they have, you see, I pick up some of the syndromes that you can see from the whole of chapter 6. All right? First of all, these people are attracted to crowd. They come for crowd. They come for people. That's normal. That's normal for every one of us. You know, if today you come, you see lesser people, you say, oh, lesser people. But more people, you feel excited. That's very common. But these people especially, they come for the commonality of, they're attracted by the crowd. They're fascinated by the promise of the supernatural that Jesus is giving. You know, like feeding the 5,000, seeing that people get healed, a demon got being cast out, you know. And they came only, you see them, they came only thinking about themselves. They think about their, just looking for earthly benefits. Things, what is it going to do for me? Remember, they want the bread. They ask the Lord for the bread. Can we get this bread ourselves? Give us the power so that we can do it ourselves. All right? They were the one Jesus. They want to come for food. They keep on following Jesus. After one day of eating, the next day when they came looking for Jesus. Do you think they came looking for Jesus because they want to worship Him? No, they come looking for food. Like I always say, if you have food, you have people. If you want more people in church, two things you've got to give. Tell everybody, if you come to church this morning, I'll give you $50, plus I'll give you free lunch. I tell you, our church will be packed with lots of people. And these people have no desire of true worship. You come, they come for their own purpose. They come for their own desire, their personal fulfillment. They want to fulfill certain goals for themselves. All right? They just see God as their servant. Rather than coming here and say, I am your servant, you are my master. That's why we call it our Savior and our Lord. You can't separate the two of them. You cannot ask Jesus to be your Savior, but not your Lord. When you call Him your Lord, that means you are a slave to Him. You've got to admit that. And they see no satisfaction. They have no satisfaction in Jesus. Jesus just can't satisfy their appetite. That's it. Their worldly appetite. So they were unwilling to embrace the dying Jesus, as you can see. When Jesus tell them, say, whoever eat my flesh, you got to eat my flesh, you got to drink my blood. And when they heard this, they are not satisfied, they walk away. What do they walk away from? It's not the work that they walk away. Yeah, it's not the work that they walk away. All right, they accept everything that Jesus do, but they just don't accept what Jesus say.
This is up until this day. Today, as you know, we got all the knowledge. We got Google, we got internet. You got access to social media. You got access to textbook, to university. People are very well educated these days. And yet, with all this knowledge, you see people still the same towards Jesus than 2,000 years ago. There's no difference. No matter how advanced we are, how much knowledge we receive today, without the Holy Spirit, without God revealing to us, you can have a PhD, you can have be a doctorate in whatever, master in anything. You still do not know anything about God. So today we see people leave because they don't like what they hear. This is very common. That's why I like preaching like this. People ask me, why you preach like this? So that you can't accuse me of, I come here to bombard you. All right? We get to see people, we get to visit people, we get to hear stories from people. Sometimes it's just, if I don't do it this way, you will say that I'll bombard you. I'll take your story and bombard you for something. All right? I like doing this because I allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you instead of me. Because we have scheduled this. We go through verse by verse. We go through chapters by chapters. All right? I did not plan for this. So church, people like nice things about Jesus. They like his healing. They like his idea. They like his compassion, his love, his grace, you know, to give me food. But they just say, shut up. Give me what I want, but shut up. Don't tell me anything. They don't like his teaching. So it's not the work that pushes people away. It's the teaching. I know it's a very hard thing to see. But if you have been reading your Bible, please do read your Bible. At one stage in my life, in my Christian life, I do have one stage that I give up reading the Bible because when I look at the Bible, I see myself. I saw myself as a sinner. When I look at the Bible, I see myself as an evil man. When I look at the Bible, I'm afraid of God. I just push away the Bible. I don't read anymore. I feel like whenever I read the Bible, there's a finger pointing at me. Keep on accusing me. Why? Because I don't like to hear the Word of God. Because I don't want to read about the Word of God that God is accusing me. That's what happened to these people. They walk away. They walk away because the truth is against their natural desire. It's not the same as what they want. That's why you see, when you come to verse 60, you come to verse 60, they say what? This is hard teaching. Who can accept that? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. It doesn't matter who is standing here this morning. Whether what I say or whoever say, you like it or not. Today we come here for only one goal, for one purpose. There's only one audience. That is God. God is looking at us for every individual. We work as a church. We come as a team, as one body, to serve only one person. That is God. Not you, not me. We put all these things together, not because we want to put up a good show so that you come back week after week. We come here because we want to learn together. Because we want to learn how to worship God. That's why verse 60 says, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept this? Have you ever been shy of telling the truth to somebody? Or are you feel that you might offend someone. That's why you refuse to tell the truth. I believe all of us have been through that experience, right? At one point, at one stage in your life, I don't know when, you cannot take a stand. You have to tell a lie. You have to do something else in order not to offend someone. So these people, it is not the work of God, of Jesus, that they left. They left because of the words that Jesus said. All right? And then you see in verse 63, and Jesus goes straight and said, look, the Spirit gives life. The word I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and truth and life. You see, Jesus straight away put this. Why are you not listening to me? Why are you stepping away? Why are you doing this? The Spirit that gives life. I speak the life. I and the Spirit is the same. The words and the Holy Spirit is the same. All right? This means that if you want to be born again, you got to believe in the truth that Jesus is talking about. You got to believe what Jesus say. That's why we have a Bible today. The Bible is very important to me. I don't know about you, but it's very important to me because I believe there's the truth in there that gives is the power of God onto my salvation. You know, without that truth, we know nothing. Receiving and believing in the Word of God in us, that is the power of God. How much do we believe, or are we still having doubt? We might not understand every single word we read. That's okay. But do you believe? That's the question. Do you believe that this is the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God has the highest authority in your life? Do you believe that this is the Word? We're not using the Word of God to accuse anyone on doing something. I don't like people pounding Bible, pounding the verses on people, accusing something just for their own use. All right? That's why I like to read. When we quote the Bible, let's look at the context. There's many speculation. There are many studies that people are arguing about certain theology. I don't like that. I said, let's look at the context of what's happening in the background. Okay? So as Paul say, Paul gave us an idea. He said, look, your faith comes from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where our faith is. All right? It's a great strategy. It's a strategy when people reject God and walk away from all these things. You see people like this all the time. And then when we come and Jesus go further and say, look, you want to walk away from all this? After what I've done to you, after what I've told you, I tell you this, right? My Father is the one who enable you to come to me. What does that mean? Some people say that there is a theology of chosen. I don't want to get into that. We have different ideas. We have different ways of thinking. I do not want to get into argument. But one thing we do know that this is a ministry. This is a mystery of salvation. Unless the Holy Spirit, unless God the Father move you, our belief is not capable of belief. We can't even believe unless the Father enable you. Today, as we believe, it's not because I've read my Bible. It's not because I've come to church. It's not because I've done so much thing. I've do everything right according, tick all the boxes. It's because the Father enable me to believe. So today, even when I receive a salvation, when I receive the grace, I have no credit for all of this. All the credit comes from the Father because the Father enable you. It's the Father who enable these people to come to Jesus. This means that you have the ability, you have to, we have no parts in our belief. Now you know why it is so hard on chapter 6. Why now you know why there's 71 verses in there? It's a very hard scripture to read. All right, it's not. If you read the Bible majority of the stories, the quote that you read is a negative. It's very negative. You know, if you don't have the trust, have the faith in God, you can't read the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you see their war. You read the Bible, you see their killings, their slaughtering. It's a very bloody Bible. But today we have faith in God. We know what that blood is for. That blood is for us. So it goes on and say, you know, so there is a these people actually believe in the work of God, but not in the words of God. That's the part that is very hard to understand. And what is our part we need to do? Like we said the last time in the previous scripture, you submit to Jesus and you trust in Jesus. Don't ask me how. You got to figure out yourself. I think this is the thing that you need to figure out yourself. Like all other disciples, they figure out yourself. I don't want to tell you the three-step thing that I do because you'll be living my life. I don't want you to live my life. You got to live your own life with Jesus. in your life. So therefore, salvation is not a question of intelligence. It's not a question of how much you know. It's a question of belief. It's a question of faith. In verse 66, you see these people give their final words. Their final word is to walk away. They turn back on Jesus and no longer follow Jesus. I just can't imagine how would people do that. How can you believe right now and truly believe after what you have done, all the ministry you have sacrificed for, and one day you just like, I had it. You know how many voices I heard over the years about people say, one day, I don't know, I've been in church all my life, and one day I wake up, I said, I'm done. So I stopped going to church. I stopped reading my Bible. I just stopped. And I asked them why. I don't know. Just stop. Maybe there's answer that he or she refused to tell me. Maybe there's something that they've seen. They just don't want to talk about it. How would people come to that stage? Jesus experienced that before. I think Jesus asked them the same question. Jesus said, have I offended you? Did he? Have I offended you by telling you all this? What they refuse is not the work of Jesus. It's the words of God. All right? And that leads us to the highlight of today's scripture, where Jesus asked them, are you leaving too? Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you leaving me too? So today, I think God is asking us as well the same question. Are you leaving me too? I don't know what situation you are in at the moment. All right? This is a very important question, I think, for all true believers, for all true disciples who are willing to follow Jesus. This is a question that you got to ask yourself. This is a question that you got to answer yourself. No one can answer for you. Your wife can't answer for you. Your children can't answer for you. You have to answer yourself. Jesus, when he turned to the 12 and asked them, are you leaving me too? He's referring to every single one of you. All right? And Simon Peter says, represent the 12 and say, what? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. See this? You have the words of eternal life. Where should we go? All right? This is the key, church. We accept not only Jesus' work, what Jesus has done in our life, he went on the cross, but we also have to accept his words, what he said to us, what he's teaching to us through the Bible today. If you can't accept that, you only accept, I don't know whether there's such a thing of accept half of Christ. You accept his work. Just like you accept what I say, but you don't accept what I do. All right. It's all about the work of the Holy Spirit and our submission to the Lord. So Jesus, and he went further and said, I know we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. How many times do you hear people call Jesus, you are the Holy One? Check the Bible. Every single time when you hear this Holy One of God, it's always, almost every single time, is a time when Jesus casts out the demon. And who were the one? Who said you are the Holy One? Every single time when you hear the demons. The devil. As James said, what? You believe in one God. That's true. But the devil believes too, though. You do know that the devil knows more of Jesus than us? And they do believe in Jesus, though. They do believe that he's the Son of God. He's the Holy One, though. And that's what Peter used, the same word. You are the Holy One of God. Who else should we turn to? Church, this is something for you to think about. What are you believing in today? What is your faith? Where do you place your faith? When you believe in Jesus, would you believe that Jesus is the Holy One of God like the devil? What difference are we from the devil? Where would you rather be if you really truly believe Jesus is the Holy One? I myself, at this moment, I'm not going to promise you in future, but I'm going to promise you at this moment,
I would rather be here. I would rather be with God, be filled with the God, be filled with the Word of God, and stay where the God is, and stay where His Word is, because His Word is my delight. His Word is something to make me hunger for. I'm hungering for His Word. Do you have that kind of belief that you are hungering for His words? That you want to be filled with His Word every day? Church, I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to us this morning. Ask us the same question. Are you sitting on the fence right now? Where you can't decide whether should I trust, should I believe or not? Or are you in a situation whereby you're doubting your own faith? You're not sure. Remember this. Jesus asked us this question. Have I not chosen you? Do you want to leave me too? That's the question He given to the disciples. Have I not chosen you? Are you going to leave me too? So this is something for you to take away this morning. And I hope that you can contemplate of it. Of course, at the ultimate motive of Jesus asking this is Jesus wants us to embrace Him. Jesus wants us to follow Him. Jesus do not want us to follow the world. He wants us to stick to Him and follow Him and search for Him and submit to Him and trust Him. It's a very hard thing to do. When they ask you to submit and trust, it's a hard thing to do. That's why it's faith. That's why we learn about faith. So at the end of the day, the choice is yours. The choice is yours to make. The decision is yours to make. So you have to make that decision yourself. How you want to follow Jesus? Have Jesus not chosen you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your chosen. We thank You that You have chosen us to follow You. You have chosen us to believe. You have enabled us to come to believe in You. Father, we just pray that as we follow You, we'll stick close to You and trust You and submit to You. As we follow You, we hope that this will last to eternity. As we follow You, somewhere in our life, till the end of our life, that we will not depart from You. And we will not make the decision to walk away from You. Father, we are people of little faith. Sometimes we are weak. I just ask that Your Holy Spirit will continue to keep us close, continue to encourage, continue to stir us, and continue to teach us a lesson every single day as we grow in Your maturity, as we grow in Your favor. And Lord, as we go out this week, we'll continue to contemplate on this difference between the true disciple and the false disciple. That Lord, we want to be a true disciple, that we want to follow You, we want to honor Your words, and Your Spirit will stir our spirit to have the hunger for Your word and hunger for Your teaching. And we thank You for all this grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for our final song, which is Cornerstone, right? Yep. Let's stand.